Hey, Russell, I'm in Carmel, California, and it's broadcast number 547, May 30th, 1982. I had a shock this week. It was quite a surprise because it came with absolutely no warning. And I got a call. I was in Los Angeles from the station manager at KLRB. The show was canceled. I've been on there 11 years, and the station was sold about 2 months ago, and the last station manager left 3 or 4 weeks ago, and the business salesman and a new team came in, and about 3 weeks ago the woman who was in charge of the station was there to greet me, and she was very friendly, and she knew me from doing shows with Victor Bach up at KOMY. And I said, well, how many heads are falling around here? And she said, oh, your show is great, it's wonderful, we want to do some promos, it's very positive. And they were very friendly, and the station was reorganizing its format somewhat, and everything was fine. The next week, it was very friendly, and it was really good, and there wasn't any doubt in my mind, you know, how they were feeling. And I went in last week, and the person who put on the show for me, the tapes and so forth, wanted me to mention a subject I'd be doing the following week so that they could put a spot on the air. So there came absolutely as no there was no warning about what was happening. I went to Los Angeles and got a call Friday saying that the show wouldn't be on this week because they were going to have a series of music, the top 500. And then Saturday, station manager called and said, no more KLRB. In a way, it was a terrible shock. And on the other hand, I kind of was expecting it. I don't know if there's any relationship to the event, but I had a visitor here Friday night, and it was something, again, I wasn't expecting. It was somebody who had been high up in government, was staying at the Navy postgraduate school. The whole thing was disconcerting, and I don't know if it had anything to do with the quick way that this was dropped or not. I can't put it together yet because it all happened this weekend, and the station for the holidays is really not functioning. So it'll take a week or maybe never to really know the relationship of the cause and effect if somebody just said, get her off the air there. I really have no way of knowing except that I had some uneasy feelings that I don't want to put on the air about this person and what happened and the conversations and so forth. I don't want to get tangled at that level. So we'll just say that KLRB is over. There was another station in town that had asked me, one of the directors there that puts on the broadcast, it said, if ever you're not at KLRB, let me know. That's K Ocean is the station. And so I called him, and he said he would call back during the week. The man who owns the station, again, isn't there over Memorial Day weekend. So we have to wait and see if I'll be on K Ocean or not. But it came as quite a shock, as you can surmise by the way my reaction to it. The way it was done was just strange, put it that way. But on the other hand, I was hitting some very, very hard areas. I was getting into some of the most important parts of the research that I had done in the 17 years. And if I was wrong, I could get up on the air and make a fool of myself. And if I was right, it would stand to reason that somebody would say, we've had enough of that. And to top it off, I had written to my congressman to help me get some information that I wanted on the air, one of the areas I'm researching, and he wrote back May the 6th, and he said, I certainly agree with you that this matter bears investigation. The concerns which you have raised are quite serious ones and merit careful attention. I have consequently forwarded a request for biographical information on Fritz Kramer to the Congressional Research Service of Library of Congress, and I'll let you know when I receive a response to my request. Now, that was May the 6th, and the Library of Congress could get that out in about 4 minutes on their computer. But I may be reaching to a congressman who agrees that this is a serious matter. I've reached this congressman and many others on the murder of the President of the United States. They never responded and said that was serious. I reached them on the murder of a senator who wanted to be president of the United States, and they never thought that was serious. And many issues and problems of murders and Watergate or the Dorothy Hunt plane crash, they have ignored. So I believe when I get a response from somebody who goes to the Congressional Library to pursue it and agrees that it is quite a serious issue that I've raised, that this is even more important than all the other things I've studied, and if it is important, then you can expect that they don't want me to go much further on it or don't want me to talk about it on the air. I'm going to put aside many of the news articles of the week, except three that I want to mention to you, and then get into an article that is the most important article I've read in a long, long time, and I want to share it with you, even if it takes 2 weeks to do, and put aside some of the things like the silly Hinckley trial and a lot of the other articles that we'll get caught up with. There was one story, Furor Boils Over Slip of Tongue, and that has to do with J. Peter Grace. That's the business partner of Otto Ambrose, who designed the Zyklon B for IG Farb and the chemical that was used for extermination at Auschwitz. And I mentioned before, designed the slave labor at Auschwitz for the rubber factories for Adolf Hitler. J. Peter Grace has been a long partner of Otto Ambrose, the war criminal of World War II, and he was appointed to this distinguished commission of Ronald Reagan's on how to cut domestic budgets. And of course, when he was in Dallas, he was opening his mouth over the food stamp program. Remember, I told you he'd start hitting the poor. He wouldn't cut vacations of the president, such as $1 million to go to Barbados for 1 week. But he was making remarks about the food stamp being the subsidy for Puerto Ricans in New York. That's they live all of them live off the food stamps. That's J. Peter Grace. I'll get back to him more. But when he opens his mouth and begins to cut budgets, just he's going to cut them from the people that he's imported in here to do slave labor. And if they can't get a job in the garment factories or elsewhere, and they're getting the food stamps after they're brought in, those are the people that these Nazis attack, the poor minorities who have nobody to defend them, instead of hitting the people like William French Smith, who are getting these huge tax write-offs and big salaries and concealing large amounts of money. Another article this week in the paper that, again, relates to the important story I want to share with you is the Pentagon's strategy for a lengthy A war. And it has to do with studies of President Reagan's National Security Advisor, William P. Clark, and the plans for the war, how if we decide to strike against the Soviet Union, we'll hit their allies such as Cuba, Vietnam, and North Korea, that the nuclear strategy will be known as decapitation, and they'll strike Soviet political and military leaders and their communication lines, and we'll arm and assist China in an effort to keep the Soviet forces busy off the China border, and we'll have a special operations guerrilla warfare, sabotage, psychological warfare going on at the same time, and space would have to be exploited for American military needs. This is our National Security Council head, William P. Clark, and the plans for a lengthy war, I guess, almost on every area of the globe that they've earmarked, and they'll fight it all at one time. Can you imagine what this is? What a big bang that's going to be. And then the story of the Pope being in England and meeting with the Anglican leaders and working for reconciliations and ecclesiastical unity. And the Joint Catholic-Anglican Commission was completing 10 years of work, and they're going to issue a report. The only major obstacles to their agreements are the papal infallibility and the papal claim to primacy over all Christians. And they said, even though this is what the Vatican wants, it need not stand in the way of unity. Papal infallibility and papal claim to primacy over all Christians, and that's what the Vatican wants, and I think that's pretty well spelled out. I think the meeting of the Pope with the Anglican Church there is as important as the meeting in August 1947, when President Truman sent messages to Pope Pius XII and guaranteed them that the U.S. would help the Catholic Church and all the forces striving for a moral world. Truman was busy in 1947 assuring Father Walsh, the vice president of Georgetown University, that the United States would combine with the Vatican, and this was described in a book as a very important step of the United States to link with the Vatican in policies. Father Walsh had claimed that the Russians wanted war and that we should get the Vatican ideas put to work. The aim of his campaign, Father Walsh, on the instruction of the Vatican, was to press the United States to introduce compulsory conscription for the oncoming American-Russian war. The last few weeks, I've been sharing information that I've seen in print from Admiral Byrd, now to the Vatican, to Georgetown University, dated back to 1946, 1947, that there would be conscription for the oncoming war. And after a year of Father Walsh from Georgetown working with President Truman, who was in office just a short time, there was a quasi-declaration of a Vatican-American war front, which sprung up in the United States, and the Pope and the American President exchanged letters. This is from a book, The Dollar and the Vatican, by Ivro Manhattan, and the rapprochement that was made of Harry Truman with the Vatican was a breaking ground on the admission or the description of the necessity for World War III. And now we have the Pope with the Anglican Church, and they want to combine their energies for what they call peace, which means peace without Russia. Now, the article that I do want to spend time with and the implications of these stories that I gave in the news is related to this article is called The Men Behind the Counter-Reformation. And this article was written by Kevin Coogan, C-O-O-G-I-N, K-E-V-I-N, C-O-O-G-A-N. And it was reprinted in Jonathan Marshall's newsletter, March 31st, 1982. And on the printed sheet with this tape, I'll give you the information. This article is 4.5 pages long and 2 pages of footnotes, and I already wrote it down into 37 pages of subjects that he brought up in that one article. It reminds me of the 3 articles that I did in The Realist, where every sentence could be extended to a paragraph to explain what the sentence meant. This Kevin Coogan is a great researcher. He hits right on the facts, and I haven't seen anyone like him since Jeff Gerth wrote his article on organized crime and Richard Nixon and those interconnecting links a long time ago. That was published at the time of Watergate. We have to get in touch with Kevin Coogan, and I'm going to try to do that because it is a brilliant article. Now, the reason he calls it the Counter-Reformation, he has several quotations in this article. One is an interview in the Los Angeles Times of Robert Scheer, November 1981, that was just a few months ago, with Richard Perle, P-E-R-L-E, the U.S. Assistant Secretary of Defense and also chairman of a high level of NATO. And this military man for the United States, Richard Perle, was complaining about the anti-war movements in Europe, and he launched this massive attack against the European anti-war movement, and you know how much they love it at home. And he said in the LA Times, this is a project of Protestant angst, A-N-G-S-T. And he gave an example of the opposite of the Protestant thinking, such as Portugal or Spain or Italy, where you get a different attitude. And this article, according to Mr. Coogan, says that a new counter-reformation is sweeping Europe, such as took place years ago, many years ago, and it's sweeping the United States, and it has the full support of Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher. That's why she invited the Pope to the Anglican Church, and the Pope's visit to England was part of this movement with the Church and Archbishop Runkle. And the whole section of the Anglican Church will capitulate to Rome. This is what he's saying in this article. That soon Catholics who support economic reforms and limit nuclear war will be called heretics, that they'll disassociate themselves from the other part of the church, and the church will call them heretics, because going back to Father Walsh, who was the man who put Senator Joe McCarthy into power, that Father Walsh was the man behind McCarthy, he was pushing for atomic bombs from the Vatican, was pushing for them in 1946-47. Father Drennan was removed from Congress. He was anti-Nixon and had a part in the Watergate. He was driven out by the Pope, who said that you can't be political and be in Congress, but that's because he was a liberal and not a warmonger that he made him resign from Congress. Now, a professor, Gedda, G-E-D-D-A, wrote a book that was published by Stanford Press in 1976. It's called Catholic Action in Italy, The Sociology of a Sponsored Organization. This Gitta, incidentally, backed Lyndon LaRouche for president. But Professor Gitta explains in his book that 4 centuries ago, when the Reformation came along, We had Protestantism, which means religious liberalism. And after the French Revolution, when they got rid of the monarchy, they had a self-styled liberty, which isn't good for people. It gives you license to do anything you want. So in his book, he criticizes early Romantic socialism of the last century and says that Romantic socialism leads to dictatorship, such as freedom of thinking. Karl Marx leads to the revolution in Russia and throwing out the church and the monarchy. And you can't have this kind of thinking. He says this is fatal logic. When you transform your thoughts, you transform social conditions. And now today, communism has descended from the Protestant Revolution. So that this particular Catholic thinker, is again published by Stanford University, thinks that when you're liberal, you end up with the Protestants. And in order to have a strong society, you have to get back to Catholicism. Now, this particular Professor Gaeta is one of the members of the Sovereign Military Order of Malta. It's long overdue, I suppose, for me to talk about the Knights of Malta, the SMOM, the Sovereign Military Order of Malta. And that's what this article is about. The church has its religious branch, and since for the past 1,000 years, the Catholic Vatican Church has had its military army with their loyalty to the Vatican, and they carried on the Inquisition and the Crusades, and the military group have been very strong side by side with the religious group for 1,000 years to defend the Catholic Church. And now they believe that the Reformation brought Protestantism, which brought all this liberalism, and if you don't have a war, you can't get the commies out. So they're ready to arm with the atomic bombs and so forth, and the military branch must come in and defend the Vatican. And so the Knights of Malta is the group that has been organized for this purpose. Now, I might tell you right now who are some of the members of the Knights of Malta, and almost every single one that he mentions just in this four-page article has some tentacles, let's not say to all the assassinations, let's say Permandex and the John Kennedy assassination. And here are some of the members. I'll just give you their names and then go back to the article in the order that he talks about them. One is James Angleton, the head of the counterintelligence of our Central Intelligence Agency, who is in charge of the Vatican for the CIA and for Israel, for the CIA, and worked with Reinhard Gehlen, Hitler's chief of intelligence. He's part of the Sovereign Military Order of Malta of the Vatican Army. Robert Ablanalp, I'll take these in alphabetical order. Ablanalp is the man who has the home down off of Florida when Richard Nixon needed help at the time. They were setting up Alger Hiss. They'd fly him down there, Bibi Rabosa, to Ablanalp's place. And this is where he was many times when he was president of the United States. This is the man that put up money for San Clemente, for Richard Nixon's home. This man is not seen very much. I looked him up in Huzu and didn't even see him in there, although he's quite wealthy with his aerospray cans. But he's a member of the Sovereign Military Order of Malta and obviously was the control of Richard Nixon for many years. Richard Allen was in Germany for several years and then went to Atlanta, Georgia for 6 months. And about a half a year ago, I did tapes on Richard Allen because he came right up to the Georgetown Center for Strategic Studies and the University of Georgetown to set up this far right-wing think tank that would put Ronald Reagan into power and get ready for the warfare state. Richard Allen was an integral part of the German money that went. He was in Atlanta, and I said at the time, how could a history professor from assistant professor from Atlanta who didn't even get his doctor's degree in Germany bring this money to Georgetown? So evidently the Sovereign Military Order of Malta that is heavily concentrated in Georgetown in Washington, D.C., has direct links to Richard Allen, who was former Security Council director. He's out the national security, but very close to Robert Vesco and other persons. I don't want to get too far off on Allen now. William Buckley formed Young Americans for Freedom, has National Review. The YAF brought in a team from Munich, Germany, who were in the Dallas-Fort Worth area when John Kennedy was assassinated and were involved in that. And, of course, he's heavily involved in Watergate and integral part of the Bay of Pigs and counter espionage and espionage for years. He's a member of the Sovereign Military Order of Malta. James Buckley, who is our roving ambassador and working now with the National Security Council, and Mr. Clark, a member of the Sovereign Military Order of Malta. The Bilderbergers were set up, the Prince Bernhard, by a member of the Vatican, who got the money and the financing to get Bernhard to be the head of the Bilderbergers. This was set up by a member of the Sovereign Military Order of Malta. William Casey, the CIA director, who I said was involved with Operation Sunrise. Last week I mentioned the selling out of America. He's our CIA director now. Whose allegiance does he take, the United States or the Vatican? He is a member of this. He worked with William Donovan in the OSS. Casey worked with Reinhard Gehlen. He brought Lucky Luciano and organized crime in from Sicily and Milan and Palermo. The Italian crime syndicate into what became the Central Intelligence Agency. William Casey is a member of the Sovereign Military Order of Malta. CIA officials involved just in this one four-page article: William Casey, William Donovan, Reinhard Gehlen, James Angleton, and John McCone. Well, Bill Donovan, they're going to give a Donovan Award for the Knights of Malta. Donovan was put on the American Cancer Society in 1946 by Elmer Bobst. Donovan was head of the OSS that became the CIA. Elmer Bobst was the cover for Otto von Bolschwing, Adolf Eichmann's superior, and Donovan was working with Elmer Bobst, who created the presidency of Richard Nixon and catapulted him into office. Donovan and Bobst were working together from 1946, when the war was over, the American Cancer Society. Peter M. Flanagan, a Nixon aide, is a member of this Sovereign Military Order of Malta. I emphasize the military because I'm not talking about Catholics who are doing good work. I'm not talking about Catholics who are not military, the true religious believers. I'm talking about the military branch that is willing to wage World War III and is wants to combine with the Anglican Church and take it over, that has a grand design and will use the military means, and is using the top Nazis from Hitler's entire regime and coordinating them into our intelligence community. All of them are members of this organization. Flanagan works for the intelligence division of J. Peter Grace, the fellow I mentioned who was putting down the Puerto Ricans and the food stamps, and he was part of the ad hoc committee that was behind the murder of Allende in Chile. That's Peter Flanagan. Georgetown Center for Strategic Studies is directly linked to this group. It's set up for the military branch of the Vatican and the Catholic Church, and Center for Strategic and International Studies means planning World War III. Reinhard Gehlen was awarded the Knights of Malta immediately after World War II. It wasn't over a year. I have the date when he became one of three to get the highest honors of Knights of Malta. There's different degrees. Reinhard Gehlen was Hitler's Chief of Intelligence, Eastern Division, and then moved west and came to this country with Alan Dulles. John Foster Dulles' son worked with this group and with the church, along with Martin Bormann. The two of them were together and left the country, went to South America. Reinhard Gehlen got one of the highest honors, though evidently these people didn't think that Hitler and Nazi Germany and those 600 concentration camps, incidentally, I was reading a figure, there's 600. There wasn't just Auschwitz or a few that you think of that are better known. Baron Hilton of the Hilton Hotels, a member of this Sovereign Military Order. Lee Iacocca, who was with Ford Motor Company. Now, Ford has always published violent anti-Semitic literature. When Marina Oswald first came to the United States in June 62, she was met by Colonel Lawrence Orloff, who then went up to Henry Ford in Michigan. She was meeting with him. And as soon as John Kennedy was murdered, 2 days later, the limousine was sent up to Dearborn, Michigan, where it is today. It was reupholstered for a while for LBJ, but any area where there were bullet holes in the metal were covered up. And when it was sent to Michigan, Lee Iacocca was one of the heads working for Ford Motor Company. And I believe, I looked up Who's Who in America, and he's been at the Ford for a long, long time. The car that John Kennedy was in was sent up to the Ford Motor Company. Lee Iacocca then went to Chrysler, and that's beginning to go bankrupt, or has gone bankrupt, on the verge of hanging in there. Member of the Sovereign Military Order of Malta. Joseph P. Kennedy was a member of this military gang, but Joseph P. Kennedy was very Nazi. And in this article, they mentioned that the mistake his son John made, according to a white Russian who had an interview about, was that John was too independent and tried to disassociate himself from the Catholic group. John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, and Ted Kennedy were never members of it, but their Nazi father, Joe Kennedy, was a member of the military branch, the Sovereign Military Branch, and James Ling is a member. He is not written up in Who's Who, but this is Ling Voigt, the defense people, and I'm sure there must be another volume where I can get a bio on Ling because the name is familiar. Father Walsh, of course, who was the man who created Senator Joe McCarthy so that they could release the prisoners at Malmedy, the Nazis that had worked with Hitler in the East and West and Middle and all over the globe, known killers who massacred Americans and other people. McCarthy was put in by Father Walsh, and Georgetown clique, again, the Sovereign Military Order of Malta. And Spiro Skouras was a member. Now, these names are just in one article. Imagine a four-page article and details, quite a few details about this organization, and there's not very much written. There is some, but if we look for it, it's there. It's just that we've never realized, I'm sure, the importance of this, and it's just beginning to come in because these are the people that have killed John Kennedy to make Richard Nixon president of the United States when he couldn't win against him, killed Robert Kennedy through the Permandex. They're all linked to the Permandex, the Torbett document, that book that's been out for 10 years. These people are all connected to the Watergate, the dirty tricks, the assassination teams, even to the John Lennon assassination. I'll get to that, if not this week, next week. There's connecting links because a member of the Knights of Malta, a very strong man in this organization, was behind Strom Thurmond. And Strom Thurmond, of course, was meeting with people who he wanted John Lennon deported, but was meeting with people who had direct links to the murder of John Lennon with Mark David Chapman. And also this person from the Knights of Malta works with Larry McDonald down in DeKalb County, Georgia. DeKalb is where Mark David Chapman came from. This group is a who's who of assassination team members, although they're not identified as such in this four-page article, but I have many files and books on each one of these, except with the exception of one or two. Michael Sindona, of course, was a member of this organization, and there's a reference in the footnotes of this one article that the P2 scandal in Italy, where the Italian government was going to be turned into a military dictatorship, such as Hitler and Mussolini had, and was just stopped by a fluke. They referred to it as the Masonic event, but it wasn't just Masonic. It had to do with the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, and the top people involved are members of that organization. John Volpe, who was a cabinet member in the United States and former ambassador to Italy. Italy, of course, this is the headquarters of the Knights of Malta, and Verna Walters. Walters is described as one of the most notorious and vicious members, and he is the fellow who engineered the overthrow of Brazil in 1964, and that happened 1 year after John Kennedy was murdered. Vernon Walters is our roving ambassador to Argentina, to Morocco, to El Salvador, wherever there's trouble, and the trouble goes far right, and there's bloodbaths and coups. That's Vernon Walters. He was acting CIA director at the time of Watergate. He was involved in the direct links to Nazis down in Chile when Allende was murdered and when Orlando Letelier was murdered. That was Vernon Walters' contacts at the time with Nazis. I'd mentioned them on other programs. So these are a few names just mentioned in this one article that really covers a whole era of the organization, such as the Ford Company. Oh, yes, I forgot. one of the most important members of Knights of Malta and his organization is J. Peter Grace. 8 people on his board, and that's the partner of I.G. Farb and Otto Ambrose, 8 people on the board of the Grace Corporation are members of the Knights of Malta, and also Interlocking Bank in New York City, they trade off the directorships, and then the Flick Group that were prosecuted and named in Nazi Germany and are very successful now, the Flick Steel, they bought 31% of the Grace Company, the Nazis that are back in business over in Germany. J. Peter Grace is a member of the Knight of Malta, the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, not just member of the Catholic Church. So you can see how important this is. On the other side of this tape now, I'll turn it over. We'll do some more on the men behind the Counter-Reformation.